B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
John Morant will dribble it across half court. And the Celtics, without Kemba Walker, without Jason Tatum, without Tristan Thompson, come from nine down to force overtime on the road on the second night of a back-to-back. But like so many things this year, it just does not go their way down the stretch. And John Morant and the Grizzlies survive it. The final score, Memphis 132, Boston 126.
Another night, another loss for your basketball team. Sub 500 again, the Celtics are, after losing to Memphis last night. 132-126 was your final. That's where we'll begin on Felger and Mass. Mike's out again today. Adam Jones is here to give us headlines. Jim Murray's back. Don't be confused by the seating arrangement if you're watching on the simulcast. Murray's in the hot box, but he is co-hosting today. Jones is in the main studio, but he's going to do headlines today. Not that it really matters.
So he's my superior. Got it. Okay, good.
Technically, that's correct,
Okay,
Jones.
Good.
Technically, that's correct.
I like to know that hierarchy.
We believe in seniority here on the Felger and Mass show.
Makes sense, yeah.
And Murray kicks up to the second spot. So welcome back, Jim Murray. How do you feel about your basketball team?
Their playbook is as predictable as the day is long, and it's very Red Sox-esque right now, the Celtics. They suck. But then they'll win a few in a row, or they'll have a game like Sunday, and they'll trick people into thinking, oh, there's hope. They fix it. They had a team meeting. Everything's fine again. And then they go right back to sucking, and they even find new and improved ways to suck, like they did last night. So that team meeting, win a game, bad team. They win a game against a bad team for the second Sunday in a row. And, you know, they also in that game, too, like how many threes went in? Like that felt like it was like almost more luck than anything else. And then they turn around and lose the next one to another bad team. They had the team meeting. They're out of cards to play. What else can they do now other than trade away a piece or maybe bring a guy in to try to shake things up? Because that's what has to happen. They're even lucky that they got to overtime last night in the first place, because when it mattered, Memphis outscored them 34-21 in the third quarter. And then they fell asleep, and the Celtics tied it up, credit to them. But then in overtime, when it mattered again, crunch time, guess what the Celtics did? They puked on themselves like they do time and time again.
I mean, it really is the same old story with this team all year long.
I'm not getting fooled anymore. Until Danny Ainge makes a move, shakes things up, trades away a piece, brings a guy in, I'm not doing it. I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe that are the Celtics this year. I've had it. Like, they're... I said it Saturday, because after that game to the Kings, too, like another team they should have beat, they're insulting to me. They're insulting to watch.
So, Murray, I think a lot of people feel like you do. Just quickly before I get to that part of it, Jones, how about you?
Yeah, it's just more of the same. We talked about this yesterday. Like, I'm happy they made everyone, and maybe I'm exaggerating now because I don't know how many people actually stayed up for it, but I'm happy they made everyone stay up for overtime just to crap themselves. Like, I'm happy that's what they did against a bad Memphis team last night, and I know they're shorthanded, no Tatum. Did we ever get, like, an official explanation there?
Well, he was apparently feeling ill before the game, a little lightheaded, and they scratched him right before.
Okay.
Kind of curious, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't feel like there were a lot of details there, is all on Tatum. So he's out. Kemba's out on the second night of a back-to-back, which is just, you know, that's common practice now. We should expect that and probably expect it all year. And, yeah, I just feel like these things are predictable. It's second night of a back-to-back. They're horrible on the second night of back-to-backs because they don't try. It feels like they don't try in any of these. When they feel like playing, sometimes they play, sometimes they don't. When they don't feel like playing, they roll the basketball out there. If their shots go in like Sunday, I agree with Murray on this, then, you know, they're an okay team. If they don't, they hang their heads. It's a lot of what Brad was talking about late last week. Like, we need to have more resolve and, you know, more fight. And I forget if those are the exact words he used. I'm paraphrasing. And this team doesn't have it. So, you know, I wouldn't hold my breath for a big shakeup at the trade deadline. I know they're linked to some names we're going to get to, but I'm not holding my breath they do anything, but that's obviously what they need. They need a shakeup because this is what they're going to do all year if they don't make some changes, starting with Danny Ainge, meaning Ainge has to make those changes.
Okay, so here's where we're going to begin, and we'll open up the phone, 617-779-0985. We'll begin Celtics today. We have spent a lot of time on the Patriots in the last week, rightfully so. I'm not apologizing for that, and I think there's still more to get into with the Patriots, which we're going to do later today. So there's a new mock draft out there, a couple things out there. You know, certainly some of the new players have spoken. We'll touch on all of that a little bit later in the program, but we're going to start Celtics because, frankly, I thought we short-shrifted them yesterday a little bit. And I know Murray was on Saturday after that Friday night debacle, which I also want to get to. But this is a big week for the Celtics. It really is. They have the trade deadline on Thursday. They are now sub-500. They have the 18th best record in the league, which to me is perfect.
Sounds high, yeah.
Well, no, but it's perfect in terms of what they've been this year because they don't suck, but they're extremely mediocre. Extremely mediocre, and they're underachieving. So let me ask both of you and try to answer these next few questions in a yes or no.
Okay.
Just because I want to try to make a point here, which is rare for me. Okay, but let's start with this. Do you believe that they can win?
Win what?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you believe that they can make a run in the playoffs?
No.
No.
Okay. Do you believe that they play hard?
No.
Do you find them likable?
No.
No.
Okay, so this is sort of my point. What do they give you?
No, again, Maz.
Well, as a fan, what do they give you?
Nothing. They're insulting. Like, it's not, I like them. You know, like, I'm a Celtics fan. And I want them to, you know, hit where they should be with this duo. And we've seen, you know, the windows open and these two stars are two of the best young players in the league. Like, they're underachieving and they frustrate me. So it's not just because of the job I'm watching them, but they're insulting me as a fan. So, no, they're not likable. They're as unlikable as Kyrie's last team here. I'm finding them borderline hateable, to be honest with you. I can't stand them right now. So, and I know we'll get to it, but like, so the speculation of them trading for Aaron Gordon, and there's a lot of people very outspoken against them not doing this move. Chris Gasper, Channel 5, one of these people. Why? You don't want to trade away Marcus Smart? You want more of the same? Why do you want more of the same? Someone's got to go here. They got to mix up the mix. They have to. Otherwise, it's just going to be the same thing night after night. They'll fool you. They'll win a couple of games. Oh, they're back. They can go on a deep run. And then they'll lose to an inferior product. And then Marcus Smart will huck up bad threes time and time again like he did last night. And it's more of the same. Do you want more of the same or do you want to see a move happen here so you can, you know, mix up the mix because they have to do something?
Well, Murray Jones, hold on one second. Murray, would you include the coach in that?
What, that he might have to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm willing to do anything.
Okay. And Jones, you're no on the coach as of right now.
Well, I just want to see what Danny does at the trade deadline first because the team needs a change. So if Danny does his normal thing and does nothing at the trade deadline, which I'm expecting, then that ratchets up the pressure on the coach. Like, again, something has to give with this team. So I don't have the coach totally off the table. I'm not firing him today, but the team's looked checked out on him for a while. We're going to talk to Gary Washburn coming up. He wrote about this weeks ago that it looks like a team that's tuned out their coach. They look completely checked out last week, hanging their heads when they found out that Brad Stevens was coming back to the team. They couldn't have been flatter on Friday against Cleveland, against Sacramento after being flat on Wednesday against Cleveland. So yeah, I don't totally rule it out, but I'd like to see if the GM will do his job and do anything leading up to the deadline in whatever it is, like 48 hours.
Okay. So my question concerns what the time frame is on the shakeup. Okay. In other words, I don't know if we're going to see any sort of major shakeup this week. I'd love to, don't get me wrong, because I'm in line with both of you. Something has to happen here. They can't just go forward with the group they have. They're not good enough, and it now seems like they don't try consistently. And it's felt that way all year long, frankly. So I don't know how you can look at them right now and feel good about them. But the reason I ask you those questions is because, to me, what else is there for a team to give you but those three things?
Well, the local head coach, I mean, that's good. You know, the guy with Boston roots back here. I think that's good that you could root for him. two All-Stars, two guys in the three-point contest. That was pretty good. That doesn't fire you up? You're not excited about that?
Okay, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. But this gets back to my point of...
Back to the drawing board.
Do they give you a championship caliber or competitive product? My answer is no.
No, absolutely not. No.
Do they inspire you with their effort the way the Bridges did?
No.
No.
No. No, so again, that was the calling card of those Brad Stevens early teams, which, you know, I obviously got frustrated with because we knew what the ceiling was and a lot of people overrated them. But at least they gave you max effort night in, night out. You don't get that with this group.
No, you don't. You don't. And you know what the bottom line is, Murray? They give you nothing. They give you nothing.
No, Maz, it's how are they going to blow it tonight against an inferior team? Like, even when they put it into overtime last night, I don't know how you felt, but it's like, well, now there's just an extra frame that they can lose it in. Like, you knew they were going to end up losing. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, even if they won the game by some strange occurrence, they'll lose the next one. Like, this is sort of where I am, because it's hard to not look at the big picture, which is why I felt the way I felt on Sunday. And I said this to you yesterday, Jones, that I look at it and I say, okay, well, they played better on Sunday. They moved the ball. They scored. That was good. It was a bad team, but at least they felt like they moved the ball better. Honestly, last night, I thought they came out, looked pretty good to start, passed the ball around. I think the ball movement is getting better. They didn't play a lick of defense last night.
The interior defense was wretched.
They gave up 80 points in the paint.
Oh,
80.
That's weird. Another point guard ripped Mr. First Team All-NBA defense. Another point guard did that. John Morant, who's been pretty bad this year, ripped apart Mr. First Team All-Defense. That's weird. Huh. That's been going on a lot. I thought he was going to magically fix everything when he came back. That hasn't been the case, huh?
Them losing last night was the most predictable thing ever.
Yeah.
Because that is who they are. They look pretty good for a game on Sunday, even though they almost blew it there late. Again, Orlando on Sunday got that thing down to 7, could have got it down to 5. But the Celtics held on. They won the game fine. Then they go the next night to Memphis and they lose. Well, you know, now Tatum didn't play. Walker didn't play. I still think they should have won the game.
Yeah.
I still think they're better than Memphis.
And that's what's so frustrating and annoying about them, because given the talent, even on a night that Tatum is out, they still have enough out there to beat inferior teams. So this year, when you look at their schedule, there's no givens when there should be, given what the talent is, especially in their best two players. You shouldn't be losing to the likes of Atlanta, who I think is inferior to them, Washington, these other, like, middling to suck teams. It shouldn't be
Cleveland,
happening. Yeah.
Sacramento.
Right. Thank you. So, and it happens more often than not.
And if they just had taken care of those games, think of what where they would be in the East.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Just think of where they would be. But again, this is who they are. And I just don't think they give you anything as a fan. I'd love to hear from Celtics fans. And frankly, I would also like to hear from Celtics fans as it pertains to the coach. And when I say that, because Murray, I think a lot of people are starting to feel like you. And here's the other thing, too. I looked it up this morning. The first 10 games of this year, the Celtics' TV rating was a little over a 3. Their last night was under a 1.5.
Oh, no kidding, really?
It was a 1.4. Now, look. It was a later start. It was Memphis. But I also think it does speak to the performance of the team. Okay, I think it does. And I think that they're also 50% lower than they were a year ago at this time in TV ratings. So last year's TV ratings were up closer to a 3. Now they're at 1.5. And I think it's for the reasons that we just said. They don't give you anything. They're not giving you the hope of a playoff run. They're not giving you the honesty of a nightly effort. And they certainly are not likable, which probably goes hand in hand with the second thing. Usually teams that try hard, play hard, have some measure of promise, you take some measure of enjoyment and enjoy watching. You say it's going somewhere, even if it's not going to happen this year. Now, the shakeup, my only question for you guys, and look, we can get into this later because, as you mentioned, Gary Washburn's going to join us. If the shakeup doesn't come this week, are you okay with that, or you want it now?
No, I want it now.
Yeah, I want it now.
Okay, see, I think the shakeup's going to come before the next season because, frankly, I've given up on this team. I'm pretty close to it anyway. And I just wonder how Celtics fans feel about it. And again, we're on the outside of it. So I'll tell you what, we're going to bring in Gary Washburn of the Globe, who has given some very honest commentary and a very honest assessment of the team, the inner workings of the team, the play of the team, the organization, all of that. Gary Washburn of the Globe joins us next on Felger and Mass.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I love coming to work every day. I love this area. People have been great to us. My family's so happy. And at the same time, home is home. And that's why I wanted to make sure everybody understood that means a lot. But no, just like I said on Tuesday, I'm not. I don't know if we'll have to answer that again on Monday, but you know, I hope that people understand that and people can hopefully appreciate that still means a lot to me, and still I hope they hire whoever they hire, and I hope they're there for 20 years and kids feel like I did. But I'm not a kid anymore. I'm a 44-year-old masshole. I swerve around others when I'm driving. I eat Dunkin' Donuts and I root for the Patriots.
I have a hard time visualizing that. I can't lie to you. Brad Stevens running around. Like, he just seems too nice to, like, give someone the finger. Go into Dunkin' Donuts and say, yeah, where's my Krella?
That's what I said on Saturday with Gasper during the Celtics show, Maz. I'd respect it more. Like, I like that he said this. It's funny.
It is funny.
But I'd respect it more if he made, like, deeper masshole references from a guy his age, which we're the same age at 44. So I can respect a Duncan and Rotary reference. But if he said, you know, like, I'm a full-blown masshole now. Me and the boys went in a place at Hampton Beach, middle of July. Come up, kid. We'll have beers and lobsters. It's going to be the balls. Like, that is more, that's true masshole to me.
He starts wearing tracksuits and scally caps everywhere. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know. Gee Willikers, I only drink Hood milk.
Yeah.
I swear. Right. My 2% is pure Hood.
Rosa, get that out of my face. I'm a full-blown masshole now. My mother hit for 20 grand on a scratch ticket last week. Got to get me a sick apartment over where Waterworks used to be.
Oh, totally. Like, I was hoping you'd go into that, Jones. I can't lie to you. Well, Gee Willikers, put on your directional. Where's the rest of us that go, yeah, get out of my way, you a-hole. Seriously. Unbelievable. So, look, let's bring in Gary Washburn of the Globe. And this is something we don't typically do on the Felger and Mass Show, Jones.
Yeah,
Murray
no, I
knows
know.
This. Yeah,
yeah
no, guess.
No, I know, I know. I'm aware.
No guess, but we're bringing in Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe because I want to try to get a sense from a guy who's around the team all the time. Gary, does the team need a shakeup?
Yeah, I think they do. I think that they got depth issues. Danny Ainge did not put together a really good bench for this team. He didn't do Stevens any favors in terms of building this roster. And so I do think if they're going to compete, I mean, now, if you just want to lose in the first round of the playoffs, you just want to go through the motions, and you just want to build toward next year, then don't do anything. But if you want to try to compete, you want to try to make it back to the conference finals, and I don't think they have a chance to get to the finals, even if they do retool, you've got to do something now.
Okay, so I know Murray and Jones have questions for you, too, but let me just ask you now, what do you think the likelihood is of a significant deal this week?
I think it's probably 60-40. I think Ainge does feel the pressure to do something, and that's not from the organization because it seems like his job is safe until, you know, the year 2170 or something, but I think those around Boston, I think that there's this kind of inherent, you know, come on, Danny, do something with the Celtic fans, and so I do think he needs to enhance his roster. I think he feels the pressure to do that. I think even, you know, Brown and Tatum have kind of said, like, you know, they're getting tired. And when a 24-year-old guy says he's getting tired, it's time to get him some help.
So who's not safe on the roster then? Is it Marcus Smart? Could it be one of the Jays? Or is it just going to be maybe like a middling piece?
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to look at everybody. I think that the Jays are off the trade block, okay, unless there was some substantial superstar on a multi-year contract coming back. And that's usually not going to happen at the trade deadline. I think that Smart's up for, you know, is on the block potentially. Tristan Thompson, I think, because Smart, not that they want to move him. I mean, you know, Smart's one of the more polarizing players in Celtics history, in my opinion, because half the people love him, half of them hate him. But, you know, his contract's so movable that he's got to be a throw-in because they don't have many tradable contracts. So Smart, Tristan Thompson, and I think they've got to, you know, they'll part with some of these young guys who have these small deals that can work out and make a trade fit.
Is there a name out there, Gary? And we've seen a lot flying around. Maybe these are names they're in on. Maybe they're names that they want out there, but Aaron Gordon, John Collins, Evan Fournier is another name in Orlando we've seen. Is there a name that jumps out and seems like a good fit for you?
I think Gordon's the guy they should go after. I think he's a guy who's athletic. He has a lot of skills. He's just kind of on a treadmill in Orlando. He's never getting better in that system. He's just kind of going through the motions at this point. If you guys saw the game on Sunday, he just kind of played through it. He didn't look particularly interested. I think you put him in
right in
system. Yeah. You put him in a good system with a coach, with an engaging, with winning players, a team that's won something in the past, Eastern Conference Finals. He gets better and he gets more engaged. And he's got a couple of years left in his contract, so this is not a rent-a player. So I think he's a guy they need to go after. They got this trade exception. To me, it's about time Ainge used some of these assets that he's gained over the years, the Brooklyn trade, all these first-round picks, to get someone significant.
Gary, when you look at the last few days here, okay, and I want to go back to Friday night, and we played Brad Stevens' comments for you amid the whole speculation about Indiana and Stevens, et cetera, et cetera. Stevens tells the team on Friday night, I'm not going anywhere. In fact, you tell me if I'm wrong. There's a meeting. He tells the team, I'm staying. This is all nonsense, et cetera, et cetera. Here you go. Then the team goes out and completely lays an egg on Friday night, and they've lost 2 out of 3 since. Should we connect those things?
I don't know if there's a direct connection to, like, they don't want to play for Stevens. I just don't think they know how to play well together. I think there's just too much inconsistency. I think they rely a lot on Kemba Walker. When Kemba Walker is hitting shots, they're a way better team. If he's not, and they're relying strictly on Jalen and Jason, that's a problem. And then you get like last night where Marcus Smart feels like he needs to be a scorer with one of the Jays out, and then that doesn't generally work out. Marcus is a good player when he scores in the flow of the game, not when he tries to be James Harden. So I just think it's a chemistry issue. They've got to learn how to play together. They've got to learn how to make some sacrifices. And also, guys like Kemba Walker, he needs to be better. I mean, he's shooting under 40%. He's averaging 14 points a game when they lose. Like, he's got to be better. That's what they brought him. He's a max guy. I mean, look at what Terry Rozier is doing in Charlotte. If you really had to do it over again, I'm sure most Celtic fans would say, hey, I'll just keep Terry after Kyrie walked, and just stick with that, you know. And Terry wanted to be a starting point guard, so Kimba's got to make this organization feel like they don't regret that decision.
Is there any element within the team, the players, that are looking to Danny Ainge to support them by making a move? Because just, Gary, if I'm a player and we're going through another deadline, I think Danny Ainge's last deadline deal to make an acquisition was Isaiah 6 years ago. So if I'm Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, are those guys looking for a vote of confidence from the GM to go out and make a move for them this year? Do you sense that from the players?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you could just hear in their voices, you can hear Jaylen Brown saying he's tired. You can hear guys saying that, you know, this is the team that we have, you know, kind of reluctantly. I don't think they expect anything to happen, and I think they feel like they're going to have to go forward with the roster that they have. But I think a deal, getting a good player, not some just, you know, scrap heap guy, not J.R. Smith or something, but a guy who can energize this roster and help them, will do wonders for this team, because you see the talent. I mean, they're not the 7th or 8th worst team in the East. They're not the top 3, but they can grab that 4th seed and make things interesting. I think that's the best they can do.
I was going to ask, given that it's such a mess defensively lately, Gary, and really especially the interior defense all season, but really lately, and now they get Smart back and he hasn't really improved that, does that maybe make him more expendable this week?
I think that just with his contract, yeah, you're right, he hasn't made that impact. I think that they missed him, and I think they thought he would greatly improve the defense, and it just hasn't worked. And then, you know, there's the typical kind of Marcus Smart plays, that 3-pointer last night, when he thought Grayson Allen was on his back and he was going to get the call in overtime, he didn't get it. It was a brick, and then they ended up losing the game, obviously. But they value him a lot. But they also know he can't stop Jonas Valanciunas from getting, you know, 19 rebounds either. That's on Tice. That's on Robert Williams. As much as Robert Williams has been a real wonder kind for this team, he's not big. And so he got shoved around last night. I mean, it was pretty ugly to see him just get pushed around the paint by Valanciunas, who's just a legit huge big.
I mean, Gary, that thing was insulting last night in terms of what they did to them in the paint. 80 points in the paint, Gary. 80 points, and I think it was something like 60 of the first 74 or 76 that Memphis scored in the paint. Just a couple quick things before we let you go. What kind of guy's Tristan Thompson on the team, Gary? Is there a negative there?
No, he's a good locker room guy. He's a straight shooter. I think he's been a positive impact on this team. I don't think it's been any issues with him in the locker room at all.
Okay, and how would you describe overall the relationship between Stevens, Brown, and Tatum, specifically the coach with each of those players? I'm not worried about
–
go ahead.
I think it's respectful, okay? I think it's respectful. I think it's solid. I don't think it's particularly super close. I think that they both probably have ways that they would do some things different. But I do think it's respectful. Okay, that's the best I can do. I'm not saying that Jason and Jalen don't like the coach, but I think that Brad has always stayed out of team issues. He's let the roster police itself. So I don't know how close he has become. Obviously, he wasn't that close to Gordon, as we saw at the end. I think the relationship is respectful. They think he's a good coach, but that's as far as I'll go.
Okay, and if the relationship is what you said it is that good enough for them to get to the next level?
I think it needs to improve, but I also think bringing better players will also improve that and give Stevens more options. I don't think Jalen and Jason are blaming Stevens for being 21 and 22 as much as they're blaming the roster issues and maybe blaming a little bit of each other. Maybe the ball sticking too much, Tatum going into his Kobe mode at times. Let's be honest, Kemba not hitting open shots when he gets open. That could be a little frustrating. I think the guys, I think they like each other, but I don't think they're bringing the best out of each other.
Did I hear you right? You said Brad and Gordon weren't great at the end?
No. I mean, I'm respectful, but I think the whole Butler thing was overblown from the minute he got to Boston. I think they were cool, but I don't think that Hayward and Stevens were ever particularly seriously close. I think that they were good, but not close. I think the Butler thing was a little overblown when he signed.
Okay, interesting. Look, Gary, it feels like something's going to happen there. I don't know if it will this week or not, but I can't imagine they come back next year without doing something significant. It just feels like a team that's running sideways. And, you know, again,
yeah, they're on a treadmill right now. They need to do something.
Yeah, you're around it more than we are. But in any case, I know you're traveling, so we appreciate the time here. Not something we do frequently. In fact, I'm starting to think we should have you on more regularly. But I'll have to hit my co-host over the head with a hammer to get him to take the cheese on that, Gary. But we appreciate the time.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot. Appreciate
thanks, Gary.
It.
All right, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, kind enough to join us. I don't know, some interesting stuff in there towards the end, especially, I thought.
I had heard that from Gasper, too.
Okay. That what, that those two weren't close?
No, not at the end.
Interesting. That's because Brad turned into a masshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big week for the Celtics again, basically.
Gee Willikers, you changed. No, you changed.
Yeah. Why'd you drink my Natty Lights, you son of a bitch?
So the deadline is just 2 days away, 48 hours. And, you know, a couple of names being tied to the Celtics out there. One in particular, which we'll hit on when we come back. Washburn mentioned it, too. Right after Jones, get you caught up on headlines. Oh!
Oh.
And there is a quarterback development in the NFL.
Oh!
That Jones will tell you all about. And there is, usual, a tangential element as it relates to the Patriots. Here's Jones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, history shows the Celtics will make a lot of phone calls. They'll get involved with a lot of different players and ultimately not do very many deals. But I do think there's a different urgency. You know, they are involved in the Aaron Gordon talks. There's a number of teams with Orlando. I think there's two teams, you know, really are going to set the tone of trade deadline. I think that's Orlando, and I think that's Toronto. And certainly, but Boston, we'll see. I think Orlando is really, they're going to take in bids. They're going to take in offers on Aaron Gordon. I do think this is the end. This is the end for Aaron Gordon in Orlando. I think they're ready to move on from him. I think he's ready to move on. Boston's in that mix.
Mm-hmm.
Wojnarowski, ESPN. Not necessarily a Woj bomb, but he's got his finger on the pulse of the NBA better than anybody. And there's been speculation about the Celtics here and Aaron Gordon as we lead up to the trade deadline on Thursday. Jones, you like Gordon, right?
No,
you're the other way. You don't like Gordon.
I mean, shocker.
I get that backwards.
Yeah, shocker. I don't really like him, but I'm interested in the Celtics doing something, so I'm not going to sit here and say, Danny, do something, Danny, do something, Danny, do something, and then rip the idea of Aaron Gordon. Is it my favorite deal? No. Would I have preferred James Harden or any of the other big names that have moved in the last couple of years? Sure. Like, this, it's annoying that this would be the kind of name that would get Danny moving, but all right, especially if the subtraction is Marcus Smart, I'm in. Count me in.
Yeah, from that roster in Orlando, I wish it was Vucevic that they would end up trying to go for, but I'll take whatever. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know enough about Aaron Gordon. I know a smidge, but I know that I want the Celtics to change.
Washburn made him sound like he'd fit right in. He's like a guy who goes through the motions. I'm like, oh, great. He'd be perfect here.
Doesn't just the profile of him, though, fit the kind of guy you think they'd want? 6'8",
oh, yeah.
Athletic, room for growth. He's 25 years old.
A wing with room for growth. You're a perfect Boston Celtic.
I mean, right. And you can play positionless basketball, as we know. Mm-hmm. So just another guy that they can just rotate five pieces out there and confuse the defense with, even though they'll give up 135.
Well, no, they want him for his switchability is what they want. More switchability on defense, which
this is just my 2 cents, okay? That you've seen a couple of permutations of this deal. And then if you're on the line, sit tight. We're going to get to your calls next. Like in a matter of seconds, I mean. So if one of the permutations you've seen of this is that Evan Fournier is also in the deal, mm-hmm. it would be Fournier and Gordon, mm-hmm. and you would give up Smart, maybe even Thompson, some collection of Smart, Tristan Thompson, and picks mm-hmm. for both of those guys.
And maybe heavily protected picks.
Okay, or it's a smaller deal for Gordon. Mm-hmm. And I think the likelihood is the smaller deal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because two reasons. One, deep down, I don't think the Celtics want to give up Marcus Smart. Two, I don't think they're looking to make a deal for a rental, which Fournier is. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and I don't think that it feels to me like he's a little overpaid. He's like $18 million a year or something like that.
He's a good player, but I'd agree he's overpaid.
Yes. Okay, so then you run into the issue of having to sign him, and is that the road you want to go down? Whereas Gordon feels to me like he signed, it would cost less, he wants out of there. The only question is whether someone wants him more than the Celtics do. That feels more likely to me. Just my 2 cents. But tell you what, let's take a couple of calls. Because again, I don't see where, as a fan, I don't see what the Celtics are giving you right now. I don't see it.
Hard
They're hard. Not championship caliber. They're impossible to like because they underachieve. And they don't play hard. What is there to like? Bill's in New Hampshire. Bill, go.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been a fan forever and a day. But I'm not a fanatic. My friends hate me for stating what I feel. I just want to rattle off a couple of quick things and have you guys maybe discuss.
Just give us one, Bill. We have a lot of people on the line, so just give us one.
Oh, God. Well, one issue I have that Brown and Tatum, regardless of this positionless basketball, they're basically both really small forwards. I get the sense that Tatum really doesn't care about winning and losing. I think their egos are out of control. I think we as a fan base are overrating them.
Okay,
and
so Bill,
reading
yeah.
the hype.
Bill, thank you. At the end of the day, what you're saying is their best players aren't good enough and they're not mature enough yet. True. Either of you guys disagree with that?
Nope.
No, that sounds accurate.
No, I would also agree with what he said there at the end, and I think maybe collectively we've all kind of overrated the both of them.
I mean, it feels that way right now. Look, I do believe in sort of that six-year thing in the NBA, that it takes about 6 years to get to your potential, your full potential, and then you really, it's just the beginning of that peak. Okay? And so right now, Brown's in his fifth, Tatum's in his fourth. So there's still a little time there, particularly for Tatum, and he's the better of the two. But, man, this thing this year, it drives you bananas. Last night, and I admit, I didn't stay up for the game. I watched a lot of it this morning. And there are times, last night I thought offensively they were okay. They went cold in the third quarter. But all in all, they scored, 126 points in the game in overtime. Defensively, though, that thing was a train wreck. And defense is all about effort. Mike's in Dartmouth. Quickly, Mike.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Celtics definitely need to switch it up. I'm out on Aaron Gordon, though. I don't think he would really move the meter in terms of, helping us out to go a long way in the playoffs. I think they should be in on John Collins. However, he's a big man, a bona fide big. He actually plays defense. And something that Brad Stevens would like is he actually makes threes. Per 36 minutes, he's only one out of eight players, 6'9 or taller, making four three pointers per 36 minutes. So
okay,
I think
No, listen, Mike, I appreciate that. I don't want to get into the 36-minute three-point range.
He is a good three-point shooter. I like him. Let's not overrate his defense, though.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. The caller's wrong. He's not a good defender. He's actually a terrible defender. But I trust him more as a shooter than Aaron Gordon. I think Gordon's shooting like 40% on threes this year. For his career, he's like in Marcus Smart territory. He's like a 32% three-point shooter. So unless he's figured something out this year where now magically he's a good shooter, I question how good of a shooter Gordon is. Collins is a legit shooter, especially for his size.
Okay, so Collins is up at the end of the year as well, right?
Yeah, he's an RFA, so you would control his rights, but there's a chance you could pay him a crap load of money.
Okay, so here's what I would do if I were the Celtics. I'm not trading for a guy with an expiring contract. Not for this team in this year, and here's why. Is Collins going to put them over the top? They're going to beat Brooklyn with Collins?
No.
The Lakers with Collins?
No.
How about Fournier? Are they going to do that with him?
No.
Okay, so the point is, why make a trade for a guy that's a rental?
Because you're not giving that much up.
Okay, but that's not going to put you over the top when you can just sign him as a free agent.
Oh, well, I understand that point, I guess. But, you can't sign him as a free agent, though, because they don't have any cap space.
During the offseason, they can't sign any of these guys.
Well, I don't think so. Between Kemba and Tatum and Brown, I think they're out of cap space. So unless these guys are going to go mid-level, so you can make an offseason trade, other teams could sign him, but I don't think the Celtics can. So, look, if I'm Boston, or if I'm a Celtics fan, I look at Smart and a couple of picks and maybe Tristan Thompson, and I go, whatever. Like, I'll mix it up, and hopefully they can go on a run. But do Collins or Gordon put you over the top? Probably not.
No, okay. And the thing with Marcus Smart, too, like, I get that people overrate him, but trade him now before he shoots himself out of any more value.
I think Danny's probably already kicking himself that the value's come down. Like, Marcus Smart...
He's having a bad year.
Horrible year. Like, he's known for his defense. Did you watch Ja Morant get in the lane all night? Do you watch these other guards? Like, his defense has been atrocious this year. Like, I'm not saying he has zero value, but his value is down from where it was before, which fans always overrate.
So all I'm saying with regard to these rentals, Pac-Man, is there's got to be a re-signability factor or a signability factor.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, you know, naturally with the NBA, the cap completely screws my head up. So if you're telling me they can re-sign Collins and they want Collins, fine.
You can. If you trade for him, you can re-sign your own guy. Yeah.
Okay, unless he wants to go to market, because I think Atlanta wanted to sign him, and he's asking for a boatload.
He's asking for max money.
Okay. Yeah, and him, there's some weird thing there with him and Trae Young.
So this is what worries me. I'm not giving up anything for a rental, unless I can re-sign the guy. Okay, and I know I can re-sign the guy, which I obviously would find that out, and I would take that gamble then if it's a guy worth doing. But this team, sorry, they're not worth it. They're not worth it. And this is ultimately, I believe a team has to convince you to invest in them. And the Celtics have not convinced me. Jimmy, you had your hand up a second ago. What is it?
It was just about the Collins thing. If the Celtics trade for Collins, they can re-sign him to whatever number because they would have his rights.
Okay.
So if you get him now for whatever package, he's only $4 million this year. And then when you get to the offseason, he's restricted. You can sign him to a 5-year max contract if you want, and you don't have to worry about it. And you still have the Gordon Hayward money to go trade for another contract if you want, up to $28.5 million.
Okay.
So you'd still have the trade exception on top of it.
Okay. Yes. So again, to me, and that's fine.
So then you can add more players if you want to spend more money.
But I need to know I can keep that guy. If that guy's iffy, I don't want him. I don't want him. I just, you know, to me, they have such little wiggle room now. They got to be careful about these acquisitions. When we come back, I see you all lined up there. We'll continue with your phone calls on the Celtics. And I read something from Dan Shaughnessy on Sunday, which was a mistake on my part to begin with, that really kind of agitated me. And there's a reason I want to bring up a little bit of baseball. Just a little bit. I want to ask Jones and Murray something, a little pop quiz.
Ugh.
And but again, there's really an ulterior selfish motive for me.
Mark me down for the F now.
Which I will explain when we come back. That's next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Felger and Maz. Ken, Mike's out today. Jim Murray's back. Adam Jones stayed. We let Jones stay. Woo-hoo. We'll give you the headlines today. Again, a little bit of development on the quarterback market today. But I want to take a quick second here just because I want to do a little bit of baseball. And again, it's a self-serving, there's a self-serving reason to it. So two quick things. First, I read this in Shaughnessy's column on Sunday. A word on outlawing defensive shifts in baseball. No, writes Shaughnessy. The defense gets nine players with gloves. They should be able to put them where they want. It's up to the offense to figure it out. Shifts are artificial, he says. I don't know what that last line means.
Right.
Like, what the hell does that mean? Shifts are artificial. But that's not the part that I'm annoyed about. The part that I'm annoyed about is, you don't want to outlaw the shifts? I used to think like Dan thought. I used to. Then I came to the conclusion that the hitters aren't going to adapt. They're too stupid. Or they're too stubborn. And so what has happened? Now we get 40,000 shifts a year, or whatever the hell the number is. And you can't let the hitters figure it out because it's ruining the game. So I agree with Dan in principle that ultimately just hit the ball the other way, except that the game isn't played that way now and they're ruining the game. That's why I want the rule. Okay, so I saw Shaughnessy and I thought, wow, talk about an old bastard kind of take.
But I thought, normally he's writing that the game is too slow and it needs changes.
He is.
So when I saw this too, I'm like, he's kind of contradicting himself.
So I thought so too. To me, he's one of the guys, and I'm lumping him in here, which isn't fair, but so what? It's not like Shaughnessy's the most fair guy in the world. So I look at it and I say, it would be nice if the players adapted, but they're not going to adapt. They're not.
And they're not being coached to adapt.
Okay,
right?
Exactly.
They're being coached to just, hey, ignore it and just, try to muscle it out of the park.
The game doesn't want to adjust, Pac-Man. So I just look at that and say, no, you got to put the rule in. You got to take it away from them. Number two, and I want to ask you this quickly, little test.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Give me the starting outfield of the Red Sox. Don't cheat. Jones, left to right. Go.
Left to right.
No, wait, you stop. I want Murray to go first.
Good.
Go, Murray.
it's... Cordero? Franchi Cordero, somewhere in there.
Okay, go.
Hunter Renfro, somewhere in there. And Verdugo in right. That I know.
Okay, Jones?
See, I think it's Verdugo in center, but I think his other two are right. Franchi in left and Hunter Renfro in right.
I'm pleasantly surprised. I think you guys got that right.
All right.
All right.
Now, Franchi might not break with the team.
Where's Kike Hernandez?
Okay, so Kike could be at second base or he could factor into the outfield. If Kiki's not at second base, who's your second baseman?
Oh, I have no idea.
Michael Chavis.
Wrong.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Chavis sucks defensively.
Well, I wasn't saying he was good. I just said I thought he'd be your second.
Second base is definitely a position. I have no idea who was playing for the Red Sox.
Okay,
this
might
year.
Be Christian Arroyo, believe it or not. He was there at the end of Yep, exactly right, Murray. And there's a reason I'm asking you this. Opening day is 9 days away. 9 days away.
Yeah, Murray, Maz asked this yesterday. He said, do you know what's in 10 days? I said, the Masters. I was not prepared for baseball talk. So, yeah, I wasn't even realizing it was that close.
So I just want to give you guys a little bit of a primer because next week, the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz will air here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The what?
Wait, okay. The Baseball Hour?
Formerly known as the Baseball Reporters,
uh-huh.
Has rebranded. I'm hoping that it's not the same as like New Coke. Hopefully we get a better rebranding than the New Coke.
Uh-huh.
But the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz, we've
So Big Jim gets to go home?
No, Murray's still here.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that in 1 minute, Jones. But the whole idea behind the quote-unquote rebranding, Rick Radzik, our program director, says, yeah, Maz, I don't think it's really the reporters anymore. Like, you don't really have reporters on. You just kind of... rip the Red Sox the whole time. It's really more just Maz ripping the Red Sox, but I don't want to call the show that.
Yeah. Well, especially when you're out and I have to slide into that chair. I mean, that name loses all credibility.
Exactly. So. And the Murray still, it's basically the same show. We've just given it a new name.
Got it.
Okay, it's the same show.
But yeah. Matt McCarthy.
It's Baseball Hour Zero with
Maz. It's like when we change a co-host on the night show. It's the same show. It's just, we just rotate through a new second chair. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not blowing up the spot, Maz, when I say Matt McCarthy is going to be in on Fridays. He of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast on IG?
Correct. Matt McCarthy is going to be more involved in the program. We want to get Matt involved. He's a big baseball fan. I agree. I'm happy to have Matt on the show. We are hoping to have another voice on the show on a regular basis that I will share later. I just don't. I think it's pretty much done, but it's not finalized.
Said person is excited about the opportunity.
Okay, so Jimmy knows,
and I think it's finalized.
Yeah, and I think it's someone that everyone will like. And again, remember, it's not the baseball reporters anymore. And in tandem with that, every year at this time, I reach out to the Red Sox about getting access to Alex Cora, Chaim Bloom, and usually they tell me to go stuff it. Because why would they want to talk to someone who just rips their chops off all the time? I mean, what's the point of that? They agreed.
Exposure bucks, Maz.
Yeah, and in fairness to them, in the past, they've agreed. Cora wasn't here last year, and the whole season got derailed, so we know how that went. But I did speak with Alex Cora recently, and that podcast is now up on 98.5thesportshub.com. So you can listen to my interview with Alex Cora that took place at the end of last week. And we covered a lot of ground, and honestly, I like talking to the guy. I do. I find Cora to be one of those rare people, unlike John Farrell, who actually answers a question and answers it in a way that sounds human. So I asked him about dealing with the front office that is analytics driven. Do they make out the lineup? Does he make out the lineup? I asked him what went wrong with Andrew Benintendi. I asked him the challenges of managing this pitching staff. All that's on the podcast. It's good stuff.
Which trash can they're going to bang on.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, exactly. Who the new, you know, how they're going to cheat with video now and the iPads, all that kind of stuff, Jones. It's all in there. So you can find it on 98.5thesportshub.com or your usual sites with regard to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, what have you. So anyway, that's where we are.
I feel like I got off easy with that quiz.
Oh, you did get off easy. Yeah, I'm all right. And oh, that's what I meant to say, Jones. Nobody is more excited about staying the extra hour than Jim Murray.
I can feel it. I can feel it through the glass. I really can.
Murray looks forward to baseball season like no one you've ever seen. Seriously. I think that, you know, that any seams that exist in his body are stitched together with, you know, with red thread and white leather. Murray's a baseball guy at heart, Charles. Sure. You have no idea.
Sure.
So here's what we're going to do. No commercials here. Commercial free. Top of the hour. Jones will get you caught up on the latest. Again, there was a football quarterbacking move in the NFL today that took a quarterback off the market, a potential guy for the Patriots. Jones will tell you all about it. And then when we come back, the newcomers of the Patriots are speaking. We'll tell you what they said, and we'll also continue with your phone calls on the Celtics. All that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.